Sunday Meditation, March 15th, 1998.
To be with Mommy.
The question this week has to do with a balance that we might wish to maintain between aiding a transition or an initiation or waiting back, letting things happen. So if Kuo could give us some information about what we can do to assist a transition, to assist this feeling of change that's in us, we'd appreciate anything that Kuo could say. How would we approach this change, this transition, from the aspect of the heart, and contrast to how it might be approached from intellectually or from the mind? And could Kuo let us know if there's anything particularly now concerning change for people? Is change more important, happening more often? Talk to us about change. We have one more thing, Kuo. Put on the grocery list. Is there anything concerning change that we should know about releasing energies and experiences from our past? All right, Kuo, we're done.
We are those known to you as the principle of the Kuo. And we greet each of you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. May we say how privileged and humbled that we feel to be asked to share our opinions and our thoughts with you at this time. We thank each one of you and bless you for all that has brought you here, for that stubborn desire to seek and know the truth. This creates for us that service which we would hope to offer. And it is a precious, precious opportunity to share in a way that does not infringe upon free will. Those thoughts of ours that might be tools and resources for those who seek the Creator, as we continue to seek the Creator, as always, we ask that each of you discriminate for yourself and keep only those thoughts of ours which settle into your heart and nest there naturally and comfortably. These are useful. If our thoughts are awkward and do not seem to fit, cast them aside and move on without a second thought. For we only offer opinion and would not wish to create confusion or stumbling for any pilgrim foot upon the path. We are aware that this week the concern upon your minds is that of change. There are many ways of looking at this necessary and inevitable process. Perhaps for us, we would take a step back from the soul in transition and attempt to describe what we see as the situation against which this drama of change and transformation plays itself out. The one known as Sarah has expressed a love of the concept of the holographic universe, and indeed we also feel that each of you is as the hologram of creation and of the Creator. This, of course, is not obvious or manifest within your third density illusion. Yet, there is a spot within each awakened soul that lies far below the level of sense and rational thought, where the spirit knows itself. And that basis or fundament is a kind of knowing of self that does not change with time or space or occasion, but rather is the essence of self, the infinitely subtle and unique patterns of vibration which create that complex perfume of light and color that is the spark which each of you is. It is difficult to express this concept in a language which measures by size. For you as a citizen of eternity are both infinitely large and infinitely small. However, in both views of this basis of self, the spark of self is a reality in the midst of confusion, a feeling deep within that endures beyond all experience. When it rises to consciousness for even a moment, the conscious life is transformed for that moment. And when these moments of clarity occur to each who is upon a shadowed path and feeling the stress of change, we encourage the careful etching into memory of that moment, for the bare memory of the realness of self is a balm and a comfort against the sometimes very difficult emotional and mental experiences of one who is in the process of change. Beyond all other resources for the one who perceives herself as changing, this basic resource of knowing that holographic self within and remembering the way that feels is a powerful and saving memory. Let us look now at change, using the word suffering. When the life of flesh is born, it immediately begins to change. Within the physical world, all things that grow bodies and appear within your illusion as part of the earth plane change continuously throughout their time of bloom, ripening, and decay. The source and ending of all these changes for physical flesh is dust and ashes. And we do not for a minute suggest that the source and ending of the change within a spiritual seeker begins, we correct this instrument, is dust and ashes. However, it is well to realize the absolute inevitability of constant and unremitting cycles of alteration, transformation, and within each transformation there is the decay, there is the loss of what is left behind, and there is that time when loss has occurred, but new life has not become apparent. And those times, which this instrument is often called the dark night of the soul, are times of gravest pain and bewilderment for many. Certainly the mind grasps the concept of change. And as this instrument was saying earlier, the mind views change as a problem to solve. This is the natural tendency of a brain, and we make this distinction clearly betwixt intellect and consciousness, that was created simply to solve problems, to make choices that tend towards the safety and comfort of the physical vehicle. When the spirit awakens from earth's pleasant slumber, it beholds not simply the natural processes of a life, not simply the earning of money, the acquisition of needed items, and so forth, but far more acutely, there is the sense of the mind's being unable to grapple with or solve the process of spiritual change. So often those in the midst of spiritual change do attempt to use the intellect. It is a natural and a common resource. After all, the mind is consulted continuously, is working continuously, and when it is faced with the subtle nuances of that which is deeper than words, it finds itself uncharacteristically boggled. There are things upon which the intellect cannot work. There are situations which the intellect cannot make into a problem to solve. There is that feeling of being out of control, and intellectually speaking, this feeling is accurate. For there is little that the brain can do to promote peacefulness of heart, or that wonderful feeling of grace. This inability to bring the resources of the mind into play and fire away at the situation is not easily understood by those who have not awakened. They do not see beyond whatever material concerns are at the surface of the change or are happening concurrently with the change that is sensed within. And consequently, the spiritual seeker is cut off not only from his own abilities of intellect, but also the intellectual resources of those about him. Conversely, those who grasp and fully sympathize with the subtleties of spiritual regeneration cannot bring words to bear upon a process which is far deeper and less personal than words and language in general might offer. Further, the issues involved in spiritual transformation are profoundly impersonal, as well as uniquely personal to each seeker. That is, at the same time that the seeker is experiencing unique perceptions because of the unique pattern of distortions of that particular entity, that spark is also melding with and creating dynamics with a greater self, which is very difficult to express in language. For this self is at the same time that spark that is you and all that there is. And the layers of self, as one moves down the tree of mind, are infinite. And as the experiencer moves through and takes part in this process of spiritual change. It may at one moment be at one level of mind, at another moment, at a bewilderingly different level of mind. Skimming and diving deep, coming up and leveling out, and at the same time not knowing even that one is in motion. The spiritual sea is three-dimensional, and you can breathe the water. So there are experiences of being taken to the bottom of self, of becoming the planet, the star, the sun, the creation, at the same time. Those infinitely small awarenesses of the self as a thought or an odor or an object, such as a beautiful butterfly or a perfectly blooming flower, or given the sardonic nature of certainly this instrument's mind, a pile of garbage. All of these levels and feelings that the senses cannot process within incarnation are in play, and in play with a good deal of freedom, while the entity is attempting somehow not simply to survive this process, but to embrace it, to make a welcome for it, and to cooperate with it and perhaps accelerate the process. Yet the essence of spiritual change is suffering. There is a shallow suffering to being without a home, keen, but not bone deep. There is a deeper degree of suffering in becoming aware either of the depth of suffering of the self or the suffering of the world. And this can crash in upon one with mind-numbing power and intensity, and cast one into a great fit of despair. And this is part of the creation. This too is to be embraced. This death, this pain, this limitation, this very pain is to be embraced somehow. And the self does not see any possibility of becoming able naturally to embrace suffering. And here is where the heart may become an ever more helpful and useful resource. For while the mind is an excellent tool for the outer world of decisions within the world, it is within the heart and the deeper emotions that spiritual change shall take place. And therefore, it is to the heart that the seeker may reliably and trustfully turn. Sometimes for comfort, sometimes for encouragement, and sometimes simply for a place to be held and comforted and love. Whereas the mind must think itself sacred, the innermost heart is already holy ground. And awaiting there is the Creator, that intelligent infinity that so curiously loves every spark from which it is learning about itself. As you sit within this temple and remember the Creator and feel that holiness within, the self may find surcease, pain, just for that moment. And oh, what a relief that moment is. We would at this time pause and ask for a redirection of a question, for we realized that there were several strands to the information requested this day, and we would like to have further direction. Is there a question at this point that someone would wish to throw in that we may, shall we say, get our bearings? We are a cool.
Does the releasing of past traumatic experiences or past programming relate to the progress that can be made and the changes that will be necessary at this time to go further in the ascension process?
We are those of Klo, and we thank you for your question, my sister. The past often seems to be a kind of permanent burden. At least the less pleasant portion of that past. There are crystallized nuggets of pain, emotional and spiritual pain, that are locked deeply within the personality and the character of each seeker. Any attempt to analyze or therapize them into a new configuration is limited in its success because it is not seen by most therapeutic entities that the issue is forgiveness. The deeply buried programming and
crystals of pain are seen as that which need to be taken out, to be pulled up by the roots. Seen, in other words, as weeds in a garden. And yet, this approach only tends to build walls thick enough to protect one from those crystallized areas of pain without coming into a balanced awareness of that pain. One cannot give it away. One can only give away what one has forgiven oneself for feeling. And the triggers for this forgiveness are different for each seeker. The key, however, is forgiveness of self, forgiveness of others, forgiveness of humanity. For truly, it is the very nature of the physical world as you know it, this heavy chemical density in which you abide, that almost nothing can be known. However, when the senses are awakened by that final iota of forgiveness, it is as though someone has lifted the burden from the shoulders. As to how to approach that moment of release, we can only encourage persistence of desire. It is written in your holy works, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And this is true. We always say through this instrument, be careful what you wish for. For truly, all desires will be granted to you. And yet, what does a spiritual being wish for? Does it wish for surcease of pain? Or does it wish to serve the Creator in whatever way it shall serve the Creator? Are not the paths of those spiritual entities which are inspirations to you within your world, those lives that have experienced much pain and suffering? And yet you see in those lives a joy of a light, a passion that somehow transforms the experience of suffering. This instrument's path to the Creator is the teacher known to you as Jesus, the Christ. This entity deliberately sought its suffering and simply dedicated it to the suffering of all beings. Opened its arms to the world and said, I take all of the pain,
all of the suffering, because I want there to be less suffering. And this is what I can do. And in many ways, you also may take upon yourself the sorrow of the world. And this is a spiritual practice that many have pursued. We ask you to gaze with a cold eye upon the suffering involved in transformation. For this attitude is a balanced one, in our humble opinion. It is to the person who is able to gaze upon the dark night of the soul, which this instrument spoke of, with an indifferent eye, but a full and willing heart. That this process may begin to come easier. For by releasing and yielding to the suffering, by welcoming that which must be suffered as a brother and a sister, by offering the hospitality of your life, your body, your mind, your strength, and your will to this process, the heart is opened as if by magic. And you find that no matter how intensely you hurt, it does not kill, but rather cleanses, empties, renews, and readies that instrument to be an ever clearer, purer, and brighter channel for the light that must come through into the world, for the love that must come through into the world, not from you, but through you. As you embrace this process, those emotions of release and humility, humbleness, and nothingness become an offering to be lifted up unto the Creator as all that I have. This is all that I have, and this I give to you. Do with me what you will. I am a boat. Life is the ocean. Toss me somewhere. I shall attempt to sail. This kind of abandon, this action of the fool, is powerful. And as you become ridiculous, as you embrace this darkness, you embrace also the light that follows. For truly, in the dark night of the soul, there is a moon setting and a sun rising. And that sun is a glory beyond all space and time, signifying a love that created all the barriers. We would encourage that moment of abandon within each of you, where you not only say, but feel, not my will, but thine. For you see, there is a cyclic nature to
manifestation of any kind. As the Creator's heart beats, creations are born and die. The one thing that remains, whether it is perceived or not, is that intelligent infinity which we can only call love in your language. This vibration, which is the one great original thought or logos, is what you are, with no past or future, but simply a moment of being that is infinite. Move back into this awareness when you have done your work with the mind, with the emotions. Always, you are the branches move down to the roots of the vine. For your roots are those of perfect love. And as you spiral ever upward, you shall be light and dark and light again and again and again. And that which has become a burden will be sloughed off again and again and again. For you shall mature not by adding things to yourself, but by allowing them to fall away from the self. In fear, you see, you collect and armor and harden. As love is able to touch those difficulties that have crystallized within, they are subtracted from the already whole, already perfect being that is your reality. We realize that what we have offered may be slim comfort to those to whom this present moment is a veil of tears. And we would remind each of you that the Creator's love can only be expressed, that support can only be given by the hands which are of flesh. You are the Creator for those about you. Your support is the only way the Creator can support within incarnation, within the illusion. Your hands, your voice, your smile, your eyes. These things are your gifts to your brothers and sisters. Sorrow is essential to this experience that you call third density life. But your attitude towards this sorrowing, grieving, and changing process can create for you a peace that is, relatively speaking, I encourage each of you to see that, heaven, even if it is from afar. To know that the angels and ministers that have always loved you, love you now, and are here to help you. Though unseen, they hover, waiting to comfort, looking for ways to confirm any glimmer of hope within. You are never alone in this process. This is a guarded and protected process.
and the haven does abide. May each of you help each other to find your way home. We would, at this time, transfer this contact to the one known as Jim. We thank this instrument and leave it in love and in light. We are those of the call.
I am Kuo, and greet each again, in love and in light, through this instrument. It is our privilege, at this time, to ask if there may be further queries that have arisen in the minds of those present, and to which we may speak.
I would ask a question for the person that wrote in wanting to know if there were any suggested names for the Creator that embraced both the male and female aspects of deity.
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. We are aware of other namings in other languages, but are not able to share those through this instrument. We may suggest that the One Infinite Creator, or Intelligent Infinity, are perhaps helpful in this regard. Is there another query at this time?
No, thank you, Cole. I appreciate that. What is the purpose of suffering at the third density?
I'm Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. This third density illusion to which you refer has oftentimes been called a veil of tears. For indeed, within this illusion, there is much suffering that entities undergo in removing the veil of forgetting, or at least in penetrating it in some instances far enough to be able to feel and sense the appropriateness of the veil and the experiences that ensue because of it. In short, the suffering which entities undergo within this illusion is the hollowing out of the self, the earth-made self, that there may be a fuller experience for the entity that has put forth this self within this delusion. The suffering that each undergoes may be seen as a kind of price for the pearl that has no price, that is of infinite value. Love, harmony, peace, and all those qualities of a whole and perfect Creator can be found in any degree within the darkness, metaphysically speaking, of this illusion. It is through the paying of this price, for if one is able to feel great sorrow, then there is the commensurate ability to feel great joy. This illusion is an illusion of enhanced dualities. Thus, for one to be able to experience in any degree, one must work upon those portions of the self which yet await the attention. This inevitably requires that the entity will experience that which you call suffering. Thus, it is a great and noble experience, one which there are countless entities awaiting before being able to incarnate, hoping that they will be able to partake of even a small portion of the suffering which this delusion allows, for it is an experience in which growth in the metaphysical sense is greatly enhanced if there is the ability to find even the smallest portions of love and light within the life experience of third density. Is there a further query, my sister?
Not further.
I am qualified. Is there another query at this time?
I remember a few words that refer to the Creator, and I wonder if those were the ones you were, let's say, thinking about. The word Shiva, the word El Shaddai, the word Rama.
I am. And these are terms which refer to various aspects of the One Creator, some more suited to the gender-free desires of the questioner than others. Is there another query at this point?
Does the name from the Hindu tradition Shiva refer to both male and female to the same degree?
I am quote, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. We find that this term has some coloration towards the female, but is acceptable in a greater degree than those terms most frequently used in the Western Christian tradition. Is there a further query, Michael?
No, not for me, Cole. Thank you.
I am Cole. We would ask if there might be a further query at this time.
With regard to the process of harvest, is there opportunity to choose right up to the last moment, or is there a sort of summing up that essentially the choices have been made? And when does the determination get made where a soul will harvest to whether they have made it successfully to one polarity or the other, or remain at that next polarity?
I am quite, and am aware of your query, my sister. The freedom to choose until the last breath of the incarnation is always present. Is there a further query? you once again, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
When we ask you a question on general of the spiritual principles, is it true that you may then answer it in the same sort of general level?
I am Kuo, and we are uncertain as to the focus of the query. We attempt to speak as specifically as possible without infringement upon free will, falling back upon the general principles of the spiritual process of evolution when we are nearing the violation of free will.
What I mean is when is your answer a function of how much we focus or try to study the subject? For example, if I were to ask a question about the meaning of tarot, and I would come up with a specific question, that he would be able to answer it in a more specific way. That's what I was after. Whether there are gradations that you have to go through based on how the question is formed.
I am Kuo, and as we perceive your latter query, you are correct in your assumption that the more research, shall we say, the more background that you have gained through your own efforts, then the more detailed may our response be. Is there a further query, my friend?
No, thank you.
I am Kuo, and again we thank you, my brother. Is there a final query at this time?
To what extent does childhood programming create a barrier in your spiritual progress when you may have reached a point where you no longer believe this, but there are still emotional ties with those programmings? And could you speak some to effective ways of eliminating the remnants if it is a barrier?
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. The experiences of the entity new to the incarnation are those experiences which set the pre-incarnative choices in motion. They may be seen as barriers or points to begin the study. When one has become conscious enough of the process of growth in the spiritual sense, then one may employ any number of tools to enhance and balance this process that has been set in motion prior to the incarnation and which has been activated in full in the first few years of the life of each third density entity. Those tools, as you are aware, in many instances, include the conscious study of an independent nature, the retiring into the meditative state on a regular basis, that which has been gained in the conscious study and experience of the everyday life may be seated as useful information within the deeper self. Prayer is also most helpful to those who are so inclined and who wish a communication with those presences and beings of an unseen nature which wait all about one's efforts in the desire to be of service. The continual processing of one's daily experiences, looking for the patterns and discovering balancing modalities, shall we say, is the means whereby an entity can constantly look at the process of growth as it is occurring within the self. There may indeed be many more exercises that would aid in this process, yet we find that the conscious study, the meditation, the prayerful nature, and the constant processing of one's experiences in the third density illusion are means whereby one may take part more fully in the process of growth which each has set for the self prior to the incarnation. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, I thank you, Paul. It's quite explanatory.
I am quiet. We thank you, my sister, and would take this opportunity to thank each present for inviting our presence in your circle of seeking this day. It is always a great honor for us to join you here, and we rejoice at each opportunity. For we learn as well as teach in these experiences, and we cherish the seeking and the desire to know the truth which each present brings to this circle. We would remind each that there is no seeker that moves alone upon this path, though there may be many times when it seems that such is so. There are many teachers, guides, and angelic presences which move about each seeker's journey, waiting for the opportunity to serve in the manner most appropriate, always joining the seeker within the heart to both the desire and the will to seek, love, and to serve the One Creator. We are known to you as those of Quo, and are but one of the infinite array of these angelic helpers. And we would at this time take our leave of this instrument and this group, leaving each, as always, in the love and in the light of the One Infinite Creator. Adonai.
We let the light go back to its source that we've gathered in this meeting, and put the names of those we have healing for in that light. When I'm done with our list, please feel free to add your own names. Ruth, Anne, Orphelia, Judy, Ethel, Spider Rainbow, Scott, Larry family, Dean family, the Kirkland family, Sarah, Dana, Dan, Cookie. Other requests?
Lorraine and Tom.
That is it.
Peace.
Yes, world peace.
of whales everywhere, but especially around the Hawaiian Islands or Great Chunk.
And just our beloved planet.
I
am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. Healing me.